August 30th, 2014 in Kona, Hawaii. And I'm going to look at a really fun, interesting, unusual verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:26. Yes, yes, we all right? Are we live? All right, okay. This is Patram Pushpam Palam Twayam Yo Me Bhakta Prayatati Tadaham Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. So I'm going to read just a little bit of the commentary of my spiritual master. He says, for the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He's not in need of anything because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. So we start off in spiritual life with the understanding that we are spiritual beings. I can't really have a spiritual life without being a spiritual being. If all we were was this combination of flesh and blood, and that gets not so attractive as you get older. Any of you who are... Who we went swimming today? And, you know, some people are really into that. 16, and you know, but after a little while, that idea that I'm just this bones and blood is not so interesting anymore. So to have spiritual life, first one must have the idea that I'm spiritual, that this body is just a temporary covering. It's not me. This is not my real identity. All right, and then where? And where do you go from that? Okay, I'm a spiritual being. Now what? Right? So here, Krishna is giving the essence of what you do as a spiritual being. How do you behave as a spiritual being? You know, we can talk about it in very general terms. Well, if you realize you're a spiritual being, you'll be full of peace, you'll be full of forgiveness, you'll be full of humility, you'll be full of universal love. I mean, there's all kinds of lists like this given in the Bhagavad Gita. You'll be equipoised towards friends and enemies, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, fame and infamy. You'll see rocks and gold is the same. You know, that's there. And these lists are given several times in the Bhagavad Gita. One who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when it appears, or longs for it when it disappears. But that's sort of the general consciousness of one who has at least started to awaken to the fact that there's something beyond the body and indeed beyond the mind. But then what you do? You know, what you do? So here Krishna is giving so simple. Just offer me a little leaf. Patram is a leaf. Pushpam is a flower. Little water, a little leaf, a little flower, a little fruit, a palam, little fruit. And if you offer it with love, then we start this spiritual exchange. So one of the things I really like about the path of bhakti, there's twice the word, the Sanskrit word bhakti is used in this verse, is that it gives us a way of acting that is the reality of which this world and our actions in this world are the shadow. So in this world, when we want to have a loving relationship with anyone, another human or an animal even, what do? We give them presents. We give them something. we may give them our time, we may give them our energy, we may give them our wisdom, or we may give them something to eat, right? And we accept things from them. There's a give and exchange. There's a give and exchange of confidences, of food, of gifts. And we give, as Srila Prabhupada says in this commentary, according to what they want. We don't just give what we want them to have. Right? We give them something that will make them happy. I'm sure we've all had experiences of people who give us something because they want to give it to us. And something that will make us happy. Well, I really want you to have this. I'm not sure if I want to have it. And so those are the ways that we express love in a worldly sense. I mean, even how people in the business world, in the political realm, establish relationships on this basis. Right? Even if you're trying to cut a business deal or a political deal for your own selfish interests and exploitive interests, you take the person out to dinner and you give them some gift, and you get gifts and exchange confidences. So this principle exists in the highest realm. And this is the essence of the practice of bhakti yoga, is this loving exchange with Krishna. And not only this loving exchange with Krishna, but once one has this loving exchange with Krishna, then one can also establish on the spiritual platform this same loving exchange with all living beings. Now, it's a little caveat here, that if we try to establish a loving relationship with all living beings without the proper center first, it doesn't work. One has to get the proper center first. This is why so many attempts at universal peace and universal love without first the proper center fall apart. They're just not successful or they're partially successful. So first we have this loving relationship with Krishna. And although Krishna incarnated on this earth 5,000 years ago, Krishna is not just some other person. He's not even like some great saintly person. Krishna is everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava. Mata sarvam prabhavate. Iti madhvavadante mam buddhavavasamam vipam. Krishna is one of the unlimited names of the Absolute, who is everywhere and yet personal. Everywhere and yet personal. I was recently in London, where we've established 4 or 5 schools throughout the UK to teach not only regular academics but Krishna consciousness. And one of the leading educators we were working with there said, "I don't understand how you can have a relationship with God. How do you have a relationship with God?" And I thought, well, that's really sad. You know, if you understand that there is a source, there is a center, there is a creator, there is a maintainer, and yet you can't think of what kind of relationship you can have. Maybe you can have a relationship with your phone, and you can have a relationship with your dog, and you can have a relationship with your partner, but you can't have a relationship with the source of your phone, and the source of your dog, and the source of your partner, and the life principle that is animating all of the living beings you interact with, and the substances that make up the phone and the car and everything. Krishna says, that all these energies, solids, liquids, gases, space, and mind and intelligence, these are all my energies, he says, and I am the life of everything. I am the intelligence of everyone. I'm the ability of everyone. So it was a little sad for me that someone feels they can have a relationship separately with these things and not with the source. So here Krishna is saying, if you want to have a perfect relationship with everyone, then start with the center, start with the source. And then from there, everything becomes in harmony. And how do you have this relationship? Because the source is everywhere and everything, but is also personal. Because a relationship implies that there's something personal. So this was a very difficult concept for me when I first started practicing Krishna consciousness. The concept that the Supreme, who's everywhere and everything, who's all-pervading energy, who's all-pervading love and light, is also personal. It really took me quite a while to grasp that idea at all. And I think part of the reason for that is that in most of the world, we're taught that there's something wrong with thinking of the Absolute as personal. We're taught that it's some sort of idolatry or that it's some kind of limiting of the Supreme. But factually, it's not. If the Supreme is complete, Om Purnam Adam Purnam Idam Purnat Purnat Udachite Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vasishite, then the complete must include personality. It must. How can there be completeness without personality? We say, well, personality limits, because personality means I'm this but not that. You know, if I'm shy, then I'm not outgoing. If I'm outgoing, I'm not shy. If I'm cautious, then I'm not risk-taking. If I'm risk-taking, I'm not cautious. If I'm an introvert, I'm not an extrovert. So as soon as I have a personality, if you're everything, you have no personality, right? If you say, well, I'm an introvert, I'm an extrovert, and I'm shy, and I'm outgoing, and I'm risk-taking, and I'm cautious, and then, well, who are you? You become nothing. Right? And if you're familiar with, like, personality studies, you have to be something more than something else in order to be a personality. In order to have personality, you have to have likes and dislikes. So it seems very confusing, because we just said that someone who's self-realized doesn't, they treat equally friends and enemies. They see equally stones and gold. They're not attached to happiness and distress, fame and infamy, honor and dishonor, heat and cold. They're equal poise, they're neutral. So how can one be equal poise and neutral and yet have likes and dislikes as a person? Do you understand the quandary? If I say I'm a person, then maybe I like purple more than green. Right? I have tastes, and I have very individual tastes. I like a certain style of shirt and a certain style of shoe and a certain flavor in my food, and I don't like others as much. A certain kind of music and a certain kind of music I don't like, and certain kinds of activities. I'm not equal to everything. I don't feel equally disposed to everything. I have friends also, and certain people I connect with, and certain people I say, yes, this person is in harmony, other people I don't connect with. So I don't have equality. But yet we say the self-realized soul is eternally a person, and the ultimate reality is a person. Yet we say a self-realized soul is equal poise, and we say the Supreme is equal poise. So it's very confusing, isn't it? At the same time, if there was only equanimity and there was only neutrality, there wouldn't be the full taste of pleasure. Like in our song Govinda, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Ananda. Ananda means bliss. Without personality, where is there bliss? Our bliss, our highest bliss, comes from love. And love implies that there is a lover, a beloved, and an exchange of love. It implies personality. You don't just feel just love. It's a relationship. And in love, you do something. If someone says to you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I, you know, oh, I think I just broke my hand, and I don't know if can take me to the hospital. No, my favorite TV show's on. This is not love. Love is demonstrated in persons having relationships. So how do we account for this? So we account for this very nicely in Bhagavatam. It says, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Sabjitam. The ultimate reality can be understood in three features. Brahman, which is the all-pervading light, force, existence, the be here now. That is the Brahman. That is the absolute reality. And also, Paramatma. Paramatma. Atma means self. Param, the supreme self. Paramatma is also everywhere, but now we start to have some personality, senses, the witness, the friend. Neutral, still neutral, detached, objective. But friend, equal friend to everyone, and a witness. So there's some personality in everyone's heart, in every atom, the all-pervading energy. And the only relationship that one can have with the Absolute as Paramatma is reverence. With Brahman, the only relationship you can have is peace and existence. With Paramatma, reverence. And then Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the Absolute, as a person with a form. But not just one form, with unlimited forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Ananta Rupam. Anta means end. Ananta, without end. Rupa, form. With unlimited forms. So as Krishna, as Ram, as Nisinga, as Varaha, as Kurma. These are all Sanskrit terms. But they describe different forms of the Absolute. And in each form of the Absolute, he has certain things he likes. So altogether, everything, all aspects of personality are covered. He's not this, but not that. He's everything. In an unlimited number of personalities who are all the same person. All the same person, but with an unlimited manifested personalities. I mean, we have a little bit of an idea of that in our embodied conditioned life, that although I have a primary personality in this life, which is not, by the way, my eternal personality, it's a costume and a character that we take on from life to life. But in this life, I have a particular personality, but my personality manifests somewhat differently in different circumstances. So I act somewhat differently with my close friends and family than I do, you know, when I'm chairing a board meeting and so forth and so on. So even my personality manifests differently in different circumstances. And for the Absolute, he manifests unlimited personalities, and yet he is one. Yet he is one. And these personalities involve seeming contradictions because he is everything. And yet, he has likes and dislikes. And it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that the ultimate manifestation of these personalities, what we call the Supreme Personality, is Krishna. And one can say, well, that's your subjective opinion, and that's all right. But the basis for saying that Krishna is the ultimate personality is because he's called Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's the form through which one can experience every possible taste and every possible relationship. Whatever kind of relationship one would want to have with God, one can experience in that personality we call Krishna. And how to start that relationship is very simple. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayajati talavam bhakti paritam ashrami prayadatmaha. He says, give me some water. Give me a little fruit. Give me a leaf. Give me a flower. With love. And we can start our relationship from there. So it's such a simple thing. It doesn't require some big education. It doesn't require any money. Anybody can collect a leaf. You know, practically speaking, anybody can collect some water. Most people in the world can collect a fruit and a flower. And here in Hawaii, that's pretty easy. You just walk out your door and there's some fruits and flowers. And anybody can have affection. So it's also, I find this very interesting, this verse very interesting, not only as how to begin one's spiritual practice, but also very interesting in that it counters the way that most religions think about God in the world. Most religions think about God as, please give me the leaf, flower, fruit, and water. Please give me money. Please give me good health. Please give me the perfect spouse. Please give me the perfect house. You know, please give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Our Father, Father, like I'm a little child going to the Father. Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that? So this is just the opposite. It's what can I give you? What can I give you? And because everything is Krishna, not only he owns everything, he is everything, we don't really have anything to give. So in a sense, this leaf, flower, fruit, or water are symbolic. Not that we're saying that Krishna doesn't want real leaves and fruit and flower. Not symbolic in that sense. It's not a symbolic request. But the leaves, flower, fruit, and water are really symbols of affection. Again, just like in this world, when you have affection for someone, you buy them flowers. It's one of the things that we do to show affection. These are things that symbolize affection. You buy them a big fruit basket. So it's a tangible way to demonstrate affection. So it's a way to develop affection that's not yet there, if we still feel very materialistic, like, I don't want to be spiritual. And it's a way to exhibit affection that's already there. Now, you can say, okay, but do I just give? No. Of course, Krishna gives back. And this is when we offer especially food, just like we have our ceremony where we offer food. We prepare some vegetarian food. It's notable here, Krishna doesn't say he wants meat, fish, and eggs. He doesn't want things of that nature. So when we prepare vegetarian food and we offer it to Krishna, he gives it back to us. We get to eat the remnants of that offering. And lest one think that this process of offering one's food and flowers, etc., to Krishna is simply some sort of ritual, it's quite noticeable that the taste of the food changes in the process of making this offering. There's a lot of scientific studies that even people who say a prayer before they eat or meditate before they eat become healthier, are less likely to be overweight, that their digestion works better, and so forth and so on. Just even acknowledging, you know, that although there's food around me and I may have worked for it, I still, whatever I get is a blessing. And what to speak if you go a step further and offer it to Krishna. So we have a very short, very, very short little dance that we'd like to do to English of this verse. The English has been put into poetry. If one offers me with affinity a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it, you see. And this poeticized, put to music version was done by a musician friend of mine in New York, whose name is Rukmini. So it's very, very short, it's only about 2 minutes long. And I hope you enjoy it as a meditation on this principle. Simple practice. Really, all one needs to do is have some, you could actually even do it in the mind, but what's really nice is if you have some little sacred place where you live, be just a spot on your desk, where you take them, gather some flowers and some fruit and some water, and my dear Krishna, I am offering this to you with affection. Please take this water. Please take this flower, please take this fruit, and be happy. And this starting of exchange of love awakens our spiritual identity. Just by doing this very simple thing. Such a simple thing. It doesn't take a lot of time, it doesn't take any money, it doesn't take much effort, it doesn't take any scholarship, you don't need to know any Sanskrit words. And just by doing that, one starts to awaken one's spiritual identity. And interestingly enough, one starts to become both
peacefully equipoised and simultaneously awaken to one's eternal personality. So if we have some time at the end, we can have some questions and discussion. We have some more dances and some more kirtan to round out the program. As I said, if we have some time at the end, we can discuss these principles. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you.